So we're in the middle of a sermon series this summer. Some of you know that. It's based on the stories that shape us. And you all submitted stories that were important to you, that shaped you, or that you wondered about, or that were meaningful to you. And we had some of the expected stories. We've talked about Noah and the flood. You all talked about Mary and Martha last week. We've talked about the Good Samaritan. But who knew that today we would talk about Jabez? Who's that, after all? We get this unknown person who's only talked about in two verses in the Old Testament. That's it. Two verses in 1 Chronicles. I don't know about you, but when I open my Bible, I don't usually open it to 1 Chronicles. What we learn in these verses about Jabez is the only thing that is ever written about him in all of Scripture. We know nothing else. But here are four things that we do know about him. We know that he was the favorite child. The text says he was the favorite of all of his brothers. His mother, although he was the favorite, his mother named him Jabez because the name itself is a word that means pain or sorrow. And we are told that when she gave birth to him, her pain was particularly great. We know that he prayed specifically for God's blessing, for more land, and for God's presence with him. And finally, we know that what he asked for in his prayers came to be. So what do we make of this man whose whole life takes up two verses in Scripture? I think the key to understanding Jabez is found in his prayer. Because this person whose very name means pain and sorrow prayed that he would rise above it, that in his lifetime he would not experience pain or sorrow, but that he would experience blessing. Now, this is a slippery slope, because we all know people, or maybe we are those people, who have prayed for safety or blessing or more land or more possessions, which was Jabez's specific prayer, and God's answer seemed to be no. Several years ago, a book was written about these verses from 1 Chronicles. The book is called The Prayer of Jabez. And an entire way of thinking grew up around that book. And it came to be known as the prosperity gospel. And it's this idea that if you just pray for prosperity, God will give it to you. I went to their website, and this is what it said. It said, "Are you ready to reach for the extraordinary? To ask God for the abundant blessings he longs to give to you? Join Dr. Bruce Wilkinson to discover how the remarkable prayer of a little-known Bible hero can release God's favor, protection, and power. You'll see how one daily prayer can help you leave the past behind and break through to the life you were meant to live. Now an all-time bestseller." So, if all we have to do to receive the abundant blessings that God longs to give us is to pray for them, what about those times when our prayers seem unheard? You know that I don't believe in a chess-playing God, a God sitting up on some fluffy cloud and saying, "I believe it's time to grant Jabez all that he prayed for, but not Julie or whoever." I do believe that God's desire is that all of God's children have a life of abundant blessing. But we live in a broken world as broken people, and hard things happen. Often very difficult things happen. And sometimes horrible things happen. There is no prayer of any sort that will release God's favor, power, and protection. If there were, wouldn't we all be praying it right now? If it were simply a matter of praying to God for God's blessing, for an increase in fortune, for God's peace, would this not be the time that we should be getting busy with that? I would pray first for peace in the Holy Land. A lasting peace would be best, but even today, we might settle for a brief peace, long enough to look at one another squarely in the eye and listen to one another's stories. Longfellow wrote that if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each person's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. But these days, we can't even manage to stop to listen at all, to know the other. So if I were to pray for peace in the Holy Land, wouldn't that be the desire of God's heart, and wouldn't God grant it? And what of the children coming into this country because they are not safe in their own? Could we not pray for the drug lords who terrorize them to turn from their wicked ways? Surely this is also the desire of God's heart. Why wouldn't God grant it? And oh, sisters and brothers, what of the racial divide that continues to tear at the very fabric of this country? We imagine that we have made so much progress since Brother Martin marched through Alabama and those little girls in Birmingham were bombed and killed in Sunday school and Rosa decided to move to the front of the bus. But here we are again, and the church, especially the historically white church, cannot be silent. But it's solving this crisis of character in our country were as easy as praying a prayer, wouldn't we do that? Wouldn't loving our neighbors as we love ourselves be the desire of God's heart too? What is the point of praying at all if chess playing God isn't going to move the pieces like we ask? Why do we offer our specific prayers during worship? Why do we pray for our loved ones as they travel? Why do we pray for those who are sick? Why do we pray for peace? Why do we even bother? If God's desire for us is abundance, how do we pray in the midst of brokenness? To answer that, I have to use an example, and I want you all to do this with me. I want you to find in your mind and heart's eye the person in your life who loves you or has loved you the most, unconditionally and broadly and without any hesitation. It might be a parent, it might be a grandparent, it might be a partner, it might be a friend. I want you to bring that person to your mind's eye. And now I want you to imagine sitting down with them to be together, just sitting down. What would be the first thing you would say to them? Would it be how thankful and grateful you are for them, how glad you are to be with them? Would you tell them some hard thing that's going on in your life? Or would you just chat about what's on your mind? I think I would do all of those things. But what you would not be likely to do would be to begin your conversation with a list of things that you hope that person would do for you, or be for you, or make happen in your life. But even if you did, it might not be possible, or even in your best interest as a person, for them to give you those things. There may be lessons you need to learn on your own, things only you can do to grow, things only you can do to become the person you are intended to be. Of course, this metaphor for our prayer with God, who loves us more, even more than that person who loves us most of all. That metaphor breaks down at some point. Our loved ones on this earth and in this life cannot accomplish all things. But the point of the exercise remains valid. Our prayers must be about more than our wish lists. Our prayers must be about more than give us more stuff. In order to maintain a relationship with the God who cherishes each hair on our heads, our prayers must be about relationship. All we know about Jabez from 1 Chronicles is in 2 verses. We don't know anything else. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that he was so determined not to live up to his namesake, he was so determined not to be a person of pain and sorrow, that he probably got out there and lived a life that reflected his determination. I don't think he prayed, "Okay, God, give me more, because that's how I'm going to feel safe." I don't think he just said, "Okay, God, there's my prayer, now work your magic." I think Jabez probably put feet to his prayers. To live in the kingdom, our prayers are going to need feet and hands and hearts and bold words. We are going to need to insist that the madness in our country end. We cannot sit by any longer and say that this is an acceptable way for the people of God to live, to watch the world live. We cannot be quiet. We are going to have to say that this killing innocent people must end now. We are going to have to say that those children coming to this country are welcome in the name of Christ. We are going to have to look each other squarely in the eye, friend and foe, left and right, white and black, gay and straight, rich and poor, and we are going to have to say what scares us, what has driven us to such measures of distrust and violence. And we are going to have to apologize for our role in that, whether it was active or whether it was passive. And then we are going to have to step out in love. Jabez might have prayed for plenty, and if that's what he needed, so be it. But the pain and suffering in our land and in our world calls for our prayers, and it calls for our faithful and active response. May our prayers and our lives cry out for peace and for justice and for forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is hymn number 469 in your hymnal. I invite you to stand as we sing.